Good evening, Patriots. So here we are, the fishers of men, and we're still alive. That's a good thing. They haven't killed us all yet. It'll be a while. Not at all, actually. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Right off the top, Expedition Coffee, Expedition, expeditioncoffee.com, or bardsfm.com/coffee. Expedition Coffee is our branded coffee developed by Dr. Naputi and one of the labs he is part of. It's about building health, keeping yourself strong and alert with caffeine, which is normal, but taking away a lot of the things that deplete your body and enhancing your health and your immune system at the same time. You all know I'm a coffee drinker. I live in a coffee state. Lived in probably one of the most coffee-cultured cities in the country, which was Portland for a while. Multiple espressos a day was common. I'm down to one cup of coffee a day. It's fantastic. It gives you energy, keeps your eyes from going dry. You don't get that sort of height and peak and crash. It's very stable. It's a wonderful coffee. It's an instant coffee, which I was extremely skeptical of when it was first sent to me to try, and I was like, yeah, no way. And I'm all over it. So I think it's a great product. It's all part of a building ecosystem of health supplements that we're introducing, but Expedition Coffee. So get on over to expeditioncoffee.com. That's XPED, Expedition Coffee, or go to bardsfm.com/coffee. Check out the Expedition Coffee and the health coffee. It's great for you and great for your body. Also, My Pillow with Mike Lindell. Two great names in our time. Mike is a true patriot, continues to fund audits to challenge the election, fighting for the freedom of this nation, and one of those unexpected heroes. And Mike has put out an unbelievable amount of cash to save this nation. And what's amazing is he continues to offer just great products. So I'm committed to supporting him, and I hope you are too. So head on over to mypillow.com, and you will get a great savings by using your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. And if you just scroll down on that front page to the radio listeners box, there's all sorts of great sales and deals going on right now. They've even got Fix 2021st and Help Save Our Country yard signs available now with free shipping with your promo code. They've got the Giza sheets, which are incredible. They're on sale. The My Slippers, amazing, 50% off. The six-piece My Pillow towel set, $39.99 instead of $109.99, all with your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. You can also pick up Mike's book, which is his memoirs, $9.97 with the promo code, which is awesome. Free shipping. Man, they've got all sorts of stuff. Bathrobes, which I don't use their bathrobes. They've got sleepwear. People tell me it's super comfortable. Don't know, but that's what they tell me. And they've got doggy beds. And they've got comforters. I love their comforter, by the way. It's awesome. Doggy beds, look, and people tell me doggy beds are awesome. So anyway, check it out. MyPillow.com, MyPillow.com. Use your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S. And if you want to speak to a human being, call 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. Have your promo code ready. They're going to walk you through everything you need to get a great night's sleep and never see a counselor again. So there you go. You know, Patriots, earlier tonight on the previous show, we talked about Patriot Gardens, kind of the responsibility that we have in growing our own food and taking responsibility for what goes into our body and our body temple. And I want to kind of take that theme and grow from that a little bit tonight. As I have started almost every show in the last few weeks, Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. It's pretty amazing when you think about that, because it's a place that we're being told to go to and to look and to ask for the ancient paths, and it's there that we will find rest in our souls. But we seem to have grown up into a place where difficult, painful, obnoxious, fearful, I could use all these different adjectives, seem to be commonplace, and so commonplace that we seem to be addicted to it, which I think is very likely. I've talked a lot about the chemistry of the brain and how these processes of fear and these cycles of fear and scarcity create an addiction cycle within ourselves that we seek more of it. So essentially your dopamine spikes, and then your I think it's the serotonin then that kicks in that kind of calms you down, but everything becomes very narrow focused. We lose and have lost a tremendous ability to think long term and think through a cognitive process that applies the actions that we do through future outcomes. Instead, we think very immediate, and that's all a fear cycle that we're in. And so people tend to not think very long term in general. And so when you talk about things like Patriot Gardens, a lot of people that are not in this movement will be, you know, puffing that off like, oh, who cares? The store is always going to be there, which of course we know is not going to be the case. But taking those sorts of responsibilities and investments in the long term is a much different view in our world, and the world literally transforms. You've probably heard of Turtle Island, which is a Native American group, I mean, conglomerate of tribes. And they had a philosophy of seven generations and literally planning out actions and trying to consider the impact over seven generations. That sort of long-term thinking is absolutely vacant in our world today. But that's, in my opinion, there is a lot in that of the ancient paths, because we stop this kind of frenetic cycle of immediate satisfaction and the panic buying and the hoarding and whatever else we do. And that isn't to say, like right now, a lot of people are feeling pressure to make certain certain actions. And I think a lot of that's God's hand. Like, you know, if you're feeling compulsion to stock up on food right now, build a garden, get your seed inventory going, those sorts of things, I'd say you're probably hearing God pretty clearly, because a storm is coming. So don't confuse that with this kind of more stable long-term thinking. There is a point when we have to take action, and right now we're in it because we're in the middle of this war that has this general concept of wanting to kill us all. Nothing small. You know, and like I've said earlier, and actually I said this on the Brighteon show earlier tonight, Brighteon TV. Don't forget, every Thursday night, evening, East Coast time, 5 p.m. East Coast and to 6 p.m. I'm on Brighteon TV. That's a live stream with video. I was wearing my cool Bard's knit cap tonight, which we'll eventually reintroduce. But anyway, there's going to be a winner and a loser in this war. And that's something everyone has to kind of get in their head. There will be a winner and there will be a loser. There's not going to be some sort of like brokered peace. We're going to do a pinky shake and go, oh, good. You hate us. We hate you. We're just going to put a little line here and we're going to agree not to come across it. The Luciferian rulers of this world that have their cult that they manage, which is quite massive, have only one intention, and that is to eradicate God's children from the face of the earth or subdue them in such a way that they were the worst type of slaves, that they severed their connection with God. That's part of this injection, by the way. And to break that connection in such a way that you can never reclaim your connection with God and you'll forever live empty-souled and tied to them. And that's the sort of misery that they enjoy employing, as they know very well that they can cause such destruction. So you have to kind of get in your head and understand that we are in a place of a win-lose scenario. This isn't win, maybe lose, going to go to the park together at some point, push swings with each other, do the merry-go-round and find some common place. That is not going to happen, not with these people. That isn't to say the people on the cult side, the willful idiots that have sucked themselves into this fantasy of a me theology, are not going to wake up. But the principal fight that we face is much darker than that, because there is literally going to be a winner and a loser. And whoever wins this wins the prize. So what's for the Luciferians, the prize is the destruction and enslavement of all of humanity, of all of God's creation. For us, the prize is the occupying of the land, the expansion of God's kingdom, and the eradication of evil, at least to a large degree. I don't think evil ever totally goes away. I'd like to think it does, but there's just a seed that's too deep within our genetics somehow. But we can't forget the gifts and responsibilities that God provided for us. And so as we make that decision of seeking and looking down to the ancient paths or deciding not to walk in it, we're making some very bold decisions. And those decisions are happening every single day and in every one of our actions, and driven a lot by our intent and our motives and what we're trying to build and what we're attached to. The worship of money is one of the worst. The hoarding and worship of money. It isn't to say you shouldn't have a reserve. Don't get me wrong. God doesn't want you to be empty-pocketed. But our willingness to support and give is a very critical aspect to this world in which God wants us to be in. And that's the outreach. But as we talk about that, the building of wealth, what does wealth really look like? In this day and age, wealth is translated almost exclusively to how many dollars are in your bank account, what your investment profile is, what's the value of your house, what's the income salary or the salary of your job, what's the value of the paintings in your house, what's the value of your car, do you have a second home? All material stuff, and everything is translated to a monetary figure, which in one way or another translates down to the dollar, the cabal's dollar, which is the fiat dollar and the debt currency. But we don't consider the wealth that comes from so many other areas. We don't ever factor in spiritual wealth. We don't factor in the wealth of the gifts and talents that God gives us, especially say if you're a healer. And we also don't factor in the wealth, as an example, of food. You know, when a person is sitting there with a pile of silver and gold and there's no food, they can't eat that. But a person that sits with a pile of seeds, they are wealthier depending on what the situation is, right? Genesis 1:9, and God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And indeed, that is exactly what our gardens do. They honor God in an amazing way. Whether your garden is growing sprouts on the counter, or whether your garden is containers on your balcony, or whether your garden is a full-fledged garden in your backyard, hopefully kill your lawn and grow a garden. It's my big motto these days. Or whether your garden is a full-fledged farm. But in doing so, in growing things and using seeds that God gave us to grow things, to eat and consume, for that is our food, we are honoring Him in so many ways. And we are honoring the gifts that God gave us. And it should be our goal to become more productive, more self-sufficient, less, more self-reliant, less dependent upon these corporate architectures. Because that's also part of our path and walk with God. That's an essential component to how we have to live. Food is life, and God has blessed that food. But we also have another dimension of food, and it goes to wealth and food. And it's as was stated in John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. So that's the spiritual feeding of ourselves, which is based so much on giving. And there again, if we tie that into the garden, we know very well that there's always opportunity to share some of the bounty from the garden. Now, that's not an exact meaning of that passage from John 4:34, but it's implied. And in that place there, as Jesus is looking to use the food of the will of God, will of His Father, to feed Him and to accomplish this work, we are doing much the same in our small way, especially in that component of the garden, as we're honoring God with the seeds and the fruits that He provides for us, to not only nurture ourselves, but to nurture others. And that whole process of giving is central to God's world. To love thy neighbor as we would want to be loved, to help one another and help those in need, and to protect the innocent and the children. And so much of that, if we are growing our own food, we have the bounties to begin to share with one another. When you start to look at the potential of taking backyards and turning them into productive gardens, you're decentralizing this model of that has us dependent upon them. They can't go out. I mean, there's many ways they could probably still go after us, but the principal concept is as we decentralize our food production, both from tiny to large, and we start to break down that corporate architecture, we're starting to build a community now that's taking responsibility for itself and looking to help one another. Food is a principal issue to that means. And with food comes the spiritual food of sharing and the blessings that God gives. And that even goes to breaking bread. I mean, there's nothing more sacred to me. And a part of this comes from actually three and a half years in Afghanistan. I also lived in France for about a year. And France is an interesting culture because bread is central to its culture in so many ways. It's part of its cultural definition. And baguette is a critical way that it needs to taste and be. And there is truly a love and a passion for bread itself. Afghanistan is also a country that has bread at its central. You very seldom have a meal without somebody making a flatbread. And in the field, it was amazing to watch Afghan soldiers build small little clay ovens from scratch to cook and make their own bread right there in the camp. Bread is part of that culture of sharing, and it's the part of breaking bread, sharing with one another. And you find in the older cultures like Afghanistan, the willingness to always share is part of who they are. For all their faults, and they have many, we have more. Honestly, they have not forgotten, I don't care what their religious orientation is, they have not forgotten a principal issue of taking care of one another and sharing food in their meals. That is powerful to me. One of the most moving moments I experienced in that sense in Afghanistan was we visited a small village. It was dirt poor, and it was obvious they were poor. I mean, we had come in to sit down and just talk to them about some Chechenian fighters that were there. They made tea from whatever scraps of tea they had. They rounded up some candies. It was all they had. And we were given that tea and those candies as guests. That idea of helping one another, of inviting neighbors or accepting visitors into your home or your space, and always having something to share is not as common and is actually very rare in this day as it didn't used to be. I know that for most of my life, I've been done from that principle that if somebody comes over, there's always something there to share with them. And if there isn't, I'll make it in the kitchen while they're there. I think that's a very important principle. And again, we get back to the principle of food. And what's even greater is when you have a garden and you know that you can offer them something from the garden to take home. Those are powerful gifts. They're spiritual gifts because it's not us giving, it's God's bounty that we're sharing. It's truly a wonderful, wonderful place. And with that, we're nurturing our souls with that food that God gives us. And I think it's going to be one of the critical things to rekindle as we try to reforge a new world away from this Luciferian hell that we're kind of walking on the edge of. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? This is an interesting passage for me. It's a reminder of priorities and anxiousness. We are so much in this culture of scarcity, and we're so concerned about our next paycheck and our money tied into the bank, that there's a lot of hoarding that goes on, and we tend to have very short-sighted approaches. We don't think in terms of farmers. We don't think in terms of seasons and food. We don't think enough in terms of preserving what we have to save it for a rainy day. Everything is about an immediate culture of consumption. And money is the only factor that we try to hoard. I've really tried myself to redefine that lifestyle and put high priority on putting away food, keeping seeds aside, looking at wealth in a broader way, trying to nurture the body temple. And that's especially, I will tell you, since our Bard's Fest, that was a real eye-opener for me in the amount of time I was placing into getting Bard's Fest going, which I don't regret, but I think I accomplished the mission, I believe truly, that God asked me to do. And I think the team did an amazing job equally. But in the end of the day, leaving Bard's Fest, I was left exhausted and tired, worn down from months of no sleep and too much bad coffee, not the good expedition coffee, which we all want, of course, but the drained and left with very little left in reserve. And as I've spent the last, it's been 4 weeks now, and kind of rekindled that power in that place, taking time each day to get back to my workouts, spend time stretching, taking time to nurture the body, making sure I'm eating well, taking the nutrients that I need, extra places, getting sleep for once, you know, which sleep seemed to be like the one thing I would slip aside, spending time in the garden, eating as much as I can from the garden. I mean, these are powerful nurturing events that we're reminded that there is something greater than this sort of frenetic hoarding and panic society in which we live. And that is us, part of that is us taking accountability in our life as God intends us to. It's just amazing when you step back and just take a breath and look at the world we're in and watch this sort of wasteful busyness that goes nowhere. It's literally just an around-the-clock, doing-nothing, nonsense existence. You go to work, you hate your job, most people. They go there for a salary and benefits. You get those. You by the end of the month, you're always out of money waiting for the next check anyway, whether it's because you're sticking in investment accounts or paying your mortgage or paying your car or multiple car bills, your insurance, all this stuff. Buying food. It's all just this constant cycles of the only exchange issue is money. The interaction of actually doing something, of learning how to grow food, of learning how to manufacture something, of making something with your own gifts and talents. We've just been separated from those core issues, and that's the core of who we are. So there is a world where we should not be anxious about our life, because if we truly let go, and as Christ said to us, you know, don't be anxious about your life. You will eat what you will eat or what you will drink. If we let go of this frenetic world that dictates to us how to live, and instead we go back to the grounding in God and trust in God, then suddenly we find that as we give and we work into the place of giving, God's bounty falls upon us in so many amazing ways. You know, I've told you, one of the great lessons in my life happened in the last 2 months. And it was just the reminder of trusting in God in a fundamental way. Bard's Fest, 4 weeks before Bard's Fest, all money was zeroed out thanks to deplatforming and a decision I had to make to not continue with the family arena. And that had to do with expenses and their demand for a certain margin, a call for the rest of the money to be paid, etc. And of course, we were hammered. Every possible Cabal-owned outlet posted that Bard's Fest was canceled, which was not the case. And yet, that was one of those things through prayer. God really showed the hand and said, make this a donation event. You should not be charging to sit. Let people come by their own free will and let them come this way. And that was, I'm summarizing weeks of prayer and kind of the constant message that was being reinforced in my life. And that's how we approached it, and that's how we set it up. And as you know, we set up the ticketing as a donation based. It was unbelievable what happened. All bills were paid. Everything was accomplished that we wanted, even when I thought it would not happen. And that doubt was mine. It was never God's. And I've repented for that a number of times, because what God showed was the absolute trust in Him. There was no need to be anxious about my life, or about that event, or whatever else you want to translate that to. And much of that was that I was nurturing the spiritual garden that needed to be nurtured. And in the process, we all were nurturing that spiritual garden, not just me. I'm speaking from a kind of a narrow optic tonight, just from my own experience. But in looking at that, it's how we all came together in so many different ways. The gifting and the contributions to BarsFest were jaw-dropping of what each patriot was willing to do. And as you know, we had a couple great stories of people that came there without any money, too hitchhiked in, had no place to live or stay. We were able easily to take care of them, get them into hotels, make sure they had food. That was the event, and those are some of those things that we needed to have. And everyone that was there, I truly believe, was able to experience what they wanted to experience. That's what we're talking about here in kind of that greater nurturing of our spiritual garden. But it centers around so much of us taking accountability for our daily work and what we each need. And it's stepping away from the dependency upon corporate. Look at the difference between a concert and Bard's Fest. So a concert, you're buying a ticket to sit in a seat to be entertained. Same would be true with, say, even some of the Patriot rallies, or same is true with like a mega church event, right? But that's not what happened at Bard's Fest. We instead said it's donation-based only. Everyone will be able to participate. And there was no distinction because one person gave $200 and one person gave nothing of where they sat or where they participated, because everybody was there for the reason to be part of something and to contribute to it in their own way and share in the experience together. That hierarchical nonsense, which happens so much within a monetary-based value system, it literally evaporated. Now, in 4 days, you can't build a society based on 4 days of experience, but I will tell you this, the experience from BarsFest in retrospect provided a glimpse into what was potential with the horizons that we're trying to seek. And as long as we keep that goodness in our heart and that love of God and our love of Christ within our heart, everything that we do now becomes about not having an anxious life, but instead about putting life in perspective and sharing it, the experience together, helping one another. And that's where, to me, I go back to the principle of the garden, because the garden is actually an action, whether we enjoy doing it every day. And I would say not everybody enjoys being in the garden every day. Not all, but I mean, there's also sometimes just labor, not just labor of love. But you're participating in contributing to something that God has given us and growing it and watching it grow, and then being able to take that bounty, that harvest, and share that harvest with others without expectation in return. And yet we know that as we pass that on and we share that with others, we're not just passing on a squash or a potato or some tomatoes or zucchini. We're passing on a bounty of God. And what happens there is far beyond what we can do in the physical realm. That's in the principalities beyond our reach. And that's, again, about not being anxious, right? Sure, we take care of ourselves. We put food aside and so forth. But there's always excess. And it should be shared, never thrown away. And it's just a reminder in the principles of growing food and taking care of our needs, of the importance of building community and sharing through that building of community. We share our spirituality through our actions, and that's one of the most powerful things that we can do. And again, we witnessed that at Bard's Fest. It was amazing to watch. So as we look now at our daily lives and what it takes for each of us to assume that level of accountability and to assume that level of responsibility, to me, so many of these things begin with very simple actions in the home. Obviously, the first pillar of county by county, by the way that I've defined it, is home churches. And that's a sharing of faith within our walls. Homeschooling is the sharing of ourselves with our child. And Patriot Gardens is the sharing of what we grow, not only with our family, but with our friends or our community as we have the opportunity. And it continues to go on. Tomorrow night, we're going to be discussing right work, which is taking responsibility and with your gifts and talents and either working for a Patriot company or starting your own business. And the beauty of that process is there's always something that you can do as a gifting. My dad ran his business with always a philosophy that at the end of every job, and he's a remodeling contractor, he would always do something extra for the customer that they wanted but wouldn't expect or couldn't afford. And that's the process of always giving more than you receive. And that principle, if we build this way, is God's principle. And it's building a community and a strength within our world that is untouchable by these nasty Luciferian cabal members. In fact, you can almost hear them scream and like start pulling on their skin. They hate it so much because gifting for them, everything for them has to have a price and a value. Everything for them has to have a suffering and a scarcity. But in our world, everything is about sharing. You know, I've had many donations through these last couple of months, and it's beautiful to see the donations, and it's everything from $5 to many dollars. Every one of those, though, is given from the heart. It makes no difference what the number is. It's the intent, and it's the point that people are sharing as they can. And that's really the whole point of this, is that as we nurture our gardens and grow our gardens and nurture our spiritual garden, it isn't about how much, it's about the act of giving. And as we get to that point, we really start to reform, reshape, and rekindle the true nature of God's world within us. I have no doubt about that. That's not something I've sat there and said, hey, God, is this what you want? I just know this by the way I walk and by the way the interactions happen. And as we give more, we receive more unexpectedly, but always the same. And that runs contrary to the very world in which we're told that hoarding money, getting a bigger salary, getting more benefits, getting a bigger house and a bigger house mortgage, buying another car, getting more in debt, building the things that make a status look-wise, all that is nonsense because it means nothing in the end. You're not taking any of that with you when you die. But the other side of the spiritual gifts and growing those and then watching that garden grow, that investment expand, if you will, investing in our spiritual strength, in our sharing, in our giving, in our community that we do, that does take us somewhere. And it has meaning beyond anything we can see or touch. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are blessed in this time to have the opportunities to see clearly how evil is worked and worked itself around our lives. And it's truly a great gift, Lord. And so we really pray for the continued strength, guidance from you to allow us to continue to move forward, to accomplish greater accountability in our life, to take more back that we control and that we put our hand into creating and in the process of letting you work through us to see these bounties grow that we can share, not to hoard, but to share. Lord, we are humbled by all the bounty that you've given us on this earth. And we're equally pained by the evil that has tried to consume this bounty and hoard this bounty for its own. And we know at the core of all of this is the awakening of our realization of how we are all one with you. That to deny one is to deny us all. And so it is our struggle, Lord, to separate from not only from the cabal, but to awaken the many that seem to be trapped in this matrix and help them realize that we are all in this together, that we are all sharing in this world together. And as we do that, there is no scarcity. And as we give to one another, we know that you provide the bounties that we need. So we thank you, Lord. We are humble ourselves before you and ask for the eyes to see and ears to hear as we move forward along this path, that we may grow better and greater than we've ever imagined possible, and center so much of that on our ability to give and to give with a giving heart. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, It's our challenge to really just continue to strive to be greater than what we are. And more, when I say greater than what we are, so much of what we are is defined by this hell matrix that we live in, which is literally nothing more than a matrix that prides and feeds on the idea of scarcity and torment and pain. It finds its energy there. And the more that it can extol its pain and suffering, the happier they are. I was reading an article tonight in the Gateway Pundit on one of the guys that is currently being held in the D.C. Gitmo. And he's been in solitary confinement now for over a month. This is Jonathan Mellis, by the way. You should check the article out. And he's witnessed the absolute joy that the guards find in seeing them suffer. He has witnessed the beatings of prisoners. One of the Trump supporters that's there has lost an eye thanks to a guard that beat him. So handcuffed him and beat him. This is the sort of evil that we're talking about. And that's why I say there's a winner and a loser in this fight. There is no peace to be made with these souls. Perhaps God can bring them to their knees and they can find repentance. But as we fight this fight going ahead, I don't pray to that. I pray for the strength in the ranks that we have as a remnant and that we may walk a higher path. And that higher path being built on our ability to support and build this community with one another based on our sense of giving and fairness. But don't ever question or never doubt the fact that there's a ferocity that should be within every one of us. That as one of us is damaged and harmed by such evil, we need to seek to help them and to seek to retrieve them and bring them back into the fold. But again, evil feeds on destruction. And this tyranny, then those people that are part of it, that feed on the pain of others, they're soulless and they're weak. But our true nurturing is based on us building and growing and sharing and building such strength in our spiritual rock that, as Jonathan writes, they will not break him, though he admits it's not easy. And that's the strength that each one of us must have as we go into this fight, and it's fearless. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. Always remember that prayers and our faith are central to all of this, that we need to be literally building our house on that rock, that no matter how the storm hits, we will never feel it. And that comes through our daily prayers, our daily repentance, and our daily humbling before God. God is with us, and He'll never forsake us, but I say the but because the forsaking always comes from us. It's our doubts, our hesitations, our lack of willing to trust in Him. So trust in Him. Grow your spiritual garden. And God in the end will win. The greatest part about all of this is God's going to win this through us, and we're going to be part of that victory. So Patriots, have a very blessed night. We'll see you tomorrow evening for Bards FM and again for Fishers of Men. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly, paved the road to better things. Letting go of the moments that could only keep us
over the hill where the lost got found, reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away.
Safe place to hide from the rain.